It's the Afternoon Stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm. Sure. Stay calm!
Now here's Bruno and Zach.
Here in the Music City, so you know what time it is. Time for the Afternoon Stretch here on Nashville Sports Radio. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. For everyone who is getting ready or was getting their popcorn ready to watch or listen, Vanderbilt taking on Ole Miss, which was supposed to happen at 4:30 today and really on air at 4:15, you will not have that for a little while right now because a weather delay that happened against Alabama and Georgia in the first game of the SEC tournament, that happened at the fourth inning. Now, we have another weather delay that's happening with Florida and South Carolina currently, so that game, who knows when that game's going to even start. It hadn't even started yet. There's it's TBD right now. So you might
Isn't
be waiting.
Baseball awesome, guys? Everyone listening, don't you just love baseball? Gosh.
Bruno, I had a feeling Bruno was going to have a lot of fun with that one. Bruno, how are you doing today, man?
I'm all right.
Happy birthday, buddy.
I appreciate it.
26 years 26. Old. Do you feel 26?
26. Yeah, I feel 26. I feel like I should be like 40, so to be 26 is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Past 10 years of my life have been forever.
What are you're not in studio because we had planned on none of us being in studio today for the most part.
Yeah.
And you had some different festivities and things going on, so you're still up in old Clarksville right now. So yeah. Still here with us, though. That's all that matters. Ray Dosky, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm well, man. I just want to send a happy birthday to Bruno today.
Thanks, Ray.
Yep.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think he's only 26. Yes, I get to look at him and go, wow, you're so young. Because I'm 3 years older than you.
So what do Dude, I just
think? So you're going to be 30 next birthday for you, Zach?
Yeah, in March I'll be 30.
Jesus Christ.
You guys are so old.
You might as well
old.
Just be dead.
Just go ahead and pack me in, huh?
Yeah.
How does this conversation make you feel, Ray? How does this conversation
make... I have zero words.
How does this conversation make like someone like Pogue feel, you know? Who's... I don't know how old Pogue is, but he's got to be near 70, I imagine. Somewhere near it. He's closer to 70 than I'm closer to whatever age he is. I know that. That's for a fact.
Have we ever seen Pogue and Santa together at the same time? That's
the thing. Actually, I have heard a weird story about that. So, who knows? Maybe. Maybe he could be. He could be Santa. Who knows?
Or he's just snuck into my house and it's eating all my food.
But have you done any birthday festivities yet? Have you done anything, you know, super
Yeah, I got some lunch. I got some lunch. Family wants to go eat dinner. You know me. I just want to play video games at home. But for the sake of my loved ones, I will go hang out with them.
Great. For their birthday gift for you is that they just get to hang out with you, right?
That's what they want, so they'll get it.
I hope it'll make you feel good. I didn't get you anything.
Good. Dude, so. I hate holidays. I hate any day where everyone's like, this day is special. Like, it's not, but...
I mean, some days are.
Name one.
My and Ray's anniversaries with our respective wives. Crap on that. Crap on that, Bruno.
No, that's a good one. I'm just not married. You know me. I'm not, especially right now. I'm just not the marriage type of dude right now.
Mm.
Just being totally honest.
Yeah. Well, you also, like, never talk to girls, I feel like, too.
Ever. They horrify me.
Yeah. You get scared. You're just across the room sweating. I'll just go play computer.
No, I just like, I mean, it's the same way I hate, it's the same way I hate holidays. And like, they're like, oh, we got to go do this. Like, I just value my freedom. I just, if it was up to me, just play video games, train, go out and eat every now and then. That's my life. That's my perfect life.
See, Ray, you're like a birthday week kind of guy though, right?
I was.
Definitely. I feel Ray's like Ray definitely is. Like, yo, it's 3 days before my birthday. Let's go to the club.
I'm a little bit of everything. It doesn't matter what opportunity is for me to go clubbing. It's just like, I'm going to go regardless. I'm going to go down to Miami. You know, I'm Mr. LA, whatever. Mm-hmm. New York.
That's
a little
fun little bit. You just like go to the club and then make an excuse while you're there on a Tuesday at like 10 a.m.
I just happened to fall here. Like, I don't know how I got here.
They're not even open.
Did you know
right?
Labor Day was in 11 days? We got to celebrate.
Oh, yeah. See, I thought for a second, I was like, wait, no, you're wrong. And then I realized you're doing the bit with Ray. That was Ray going to the club to celebrate Labor Day. No, I'm with you. On birthdays are weird. I don't like celebrating a birthday. I don't like...
Ever?
I'll celebrate other people's birthdays. But like for me, I don't like it.
Ever? Like, ever since you were, like, even a kid?
Yeah. That Something sucks. About the, like, the forced attention. That's what kind of kills me.
I hate it too, man. I hate it.
Isn't it? It's like people start posting on your Facebook or whatever, and they like the people you don't talk
Dude,
to.
I woke up. I woke up today. I couldn't sleep last night, so I woke up today at probably like 11:30 to like 100 some text messages, and it's I feel like I have to reply, but God, I don't like it.
Hold on, I can't let this go. So you say you don't like the attention?
I do not like the attention.
Okay, so guys, what do you guys do for a living?
Well, that's different.
Is it though?
Okay, so yeah. So let me tell you why I think it's different.
Well, if people would text me on my birthday like here's $100, that's easily gonna put a smile on my face. 100%.
Just sending you e-gift cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like organic attention. I like organic attention. Like here on the show, we say something, people like it, they react, whatever. Or if they don't like it, whatever. Regardless, it's organic attention. I like that kind of stuff. When birthdays come around, I don't like the forced attention that just because I was born on this day that I had nothing to do with it, then you have to like say something to me. I don't like that. I don't know why I don't like that. Maybe I'm the weird one in the room. Maybe me and Bruno are the weird ones in the room. But I just don't like the idea of like these people that I don't talk to 364 days a year that are like commenting or talking or texting or whatever. It's just like, yo, talk to me when it's not my birthday. How about that?
So is the birthday days, is that the day you hate? Is that the day mostly you do not like celebrating? Is that like your least favorite? Or is there any other day of the year that you do not like?
Other people, my family's birthdays. I don't like that either because it's not mine, so I care even less.
You don't want anybody to
celebrate
your birthday.
I hope they're listening and they're just shaking their head.
You don't want anyone to celebrate your birthday, but you also don't want anyone to celebrate anyone else's birthday just because it's not your birthday. Got it.
But it was surprising because the fact that I can understand Bruno's space in this because just Bruno's just like a whatever kind of guy. But you're like
a crazy person. Just say it, Ray. A crazy person.
No, you said it for me. I defer to you on
I'm
that
not
one.
Crazy.
I'll defer that to you. But in terms of like gift giving stuff like that, that's kind of like your space. You like giving gifts.
I like it. Yeah. I like giving gifts. But like for my birthday, I can't. What am I going to give myself a gift? That's stupid.
You never given yourself a gift on your birthday?
I don't think so.
Name one. Is there something off the top of your head you want, Zach?
Oh, I mean, Lord, we were just talking about it right before the show. New Jordans, PlayStation 5s. Like, I mean, I could keep going on and on and on here.
I have not a single thing I would want. I'm trying to think of something I would want.
I could give you something. I could tell you something you'd want.
What?
A healthy MCL.
I mean, mine's really even not that bad.
You know, Bruno, you know what his birthday gift should be next year for Zach? And I think you probably have the more pull out of all of us here. Is it getting verified?
A Twitter verified.
Yeah, getting verified.
Okay, that's number one.
What a gift that would be.
I'm telling you right now, I've put this out there. Bruno's heard me say this many times. There is a large dollar amount that I will give somebody. And Bruno can verify. You can ask what. I'm not going to say it on air, but Bruno has heard me say this. I will give a large dollar amount if you can get me verified on Twitter.
No, you can get Zach verified on Twitter, man, which he to be honest, the station and everyone that works here should be, but it's just not how it's going right now. So,
well, yeah, but I mean, I'm going to be selfishly talking about just me. Because that's
well, if you get Zach verified, there is a big dollar amount you could earn. Like if you're, I'm not gonna say you're gonna be like rich, but you're gonna. If I told you what it was, you'd be like, "What? Just for that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good dollar amount.
Can you define the zeros in there?
Multiple.
Okay. That's all I needed to hear. It's not just one zero. It's multiple.
Multiple zeros. Yes. Got it. So for anybody out there, you want a challenge? You want to get paid? We can talk about it because get me verified.
As far as like since we're talking about just desires, because the show is brought to you by the weather. I did for like the entire time I was the USFL. I was thinking, man, I want a Tesla. Man, I want a Tesla. Man, I want a Tesla. But was it you, Zach, that was telling me about how like terrible they are, like maintenance wise?
Yeah. Yeah, so
was that you? Were you talking about that?
It's what do they call it? The Motor Trend or whatever, the one who does all like the awards for vehicles and things like that. Which, by the way, sorry, yeah. I don't think we're gonna get sponsored by Tesla anytime soon because of this. But they're like one of the least top 10 least reliable vehicles. Is like certain models of the Teslas and everything.
Hey, you know Diode Angbo? He played at Vandy, his place for the Colts. He ordered his Tesla like a year ago, and it still hasn't showed up. So that's pretty cool that can happen.
Backward.
I mean, yeah, no.
You need Tesla money just to take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot that they get into. They're cool. Don't get me wrong. I think they're super cool. But there is definitely problems. I was watching
video. If I had like 80 grand cash, I feel like I couldn't afford it still.
No, because there's no need. You know what I mean? Like, there's really just like
you'll burn through that in a year. Yeah, with all the OS upgrades that you probably get.
Oh man, like, and I saw a video today. One was on fire. Just that spontaneously was awesome. Combusted. Yeah. Did you see that?
And but the best part was the doors automatically locked on him, so he was just stuck in there.
it's a feature.
Yeah, it was a feature. So the bystanders had to break him out.
So what was he doing? Watching movies inside? Because you could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just gonna hang out, watch a movie.
He's like, I'm watching the movie Titanic right now. The modern day Titanic is someone being burned alive in their Tesla because the door's locked. Or like the modern day Christine. Was it Christine? Is that the who's the horror? Stephen King book? Christy. Yeah,
I think that's it. Yeah.
Like that lady. Yeah.
Well, no, the car that comes to life. You're thinking of Carrie, but I'm talking about the car that comes alive and like kills people. I don't know what that book is called.
That sounds like a Goosebumps story. It's so silly.
Well, you know, Stephen King was only doing large amounts of cocaine and doesn't even remember writing The Shining or anything because he was just high all the time. So that's
good for him.
That's just in the open area of people now. Like that's all it is. But Bruno brought up a good point. This show today is brought to you by the weather because we planned on having a show an hour ago. that's how much.
To stay on the. Hey, have you ever driven a Kia?
I have. Yes.
I rented one. I was blown away by how I didn't buy gas for it a single time. It was absurd. I changed my whole viewpoint.
Yeah, Kias are actually pretty good cars. Them and
so if
Hyundai,
Kia wants
right?
to sponsor the Hyundai. Boys, yeah. We'll take a Kia sponsorship.
My wife has a Hyundai. She loves it.
Are they merged, though, Kia and Hyundai? I
have no idea.
But, yeah, they're and look, their models, they're pretty nice. There are some that are out there. They're like, was it the Genesis? Is that one that's out there? Hyundai Genesis?
Could be.
But, yeah, the Kias,
you could be lying right now. I don't know.
You could go for weeks without filling up that gas tank, especially like as gas prices are high now.
Yeah.
That's definitely helpful.
Huh. I didn't know that. More you know, I guess. You know? More you know. Can I change the conversation up? While you were sleeping, Bruno, we were getting shade thrown on us by the morning show. And it actually got a little, it's getting a little bit worse. I first off, I'm appalled. I called in and, you know, I defended our honor best I could because at the time we, you know, I thought we didn't have a show today. So I said, you know, how low of John Burton and Greg Pogue to slander our show on a day that we don't even have a show, you know, to come on here and actually talk back about it. So, and really, we could have, outside of today's show, it still could happen for tomorrow. And if Vandy wins tonight against Ole Miss, they play Tennessee in double elimination. So they're set to play at 4:30, not only tomorrow, but also the next day. So Thursday. So we could have possibly not been able to retort to any of this until Friday, which is, I mean, it's dastardly. I'm not going to say it's coincidence. I'm not going to say that it's, you know, this was a planned attack. Once again, just like when John Burton had me on his TV show and I was basically assaulted on air for what he was doing. This is another calculated planned attack by that morning show to slander our good name. And now what they've done is, I mean, I'm convinced they've spent high money on getting Andrew Algretta onto this their bandwagon or whatever. I know he hates it because he texts me. I'm just, you know, he's like texting me how much he's sorry and all this different stuff. So I understand that he's doing this just because they're giving a paycheck for it. And I told him, I was like, hey, man, don't, you know, you don't want to become enemies with Bruno and I. But the voice of the Vandy Boys. Right. Voice of the Vandy Boys. Look at the cheap shot that gets thrown.
You know, your boy Zach was asking me a couple of weeks ago about the steal of home.
Yeah.
And the thing about it was,
sorry you had to go on with him, by the way. I want to apologize for that.
I know. It's exhausting, but I
see folks? See folks?
Hey, don't you, Patton,
yeah.
Hold on. You just made a promo.
That's
Andrew.
A promo. Good job by you, Andrew.
Patton flagged that one. Okay.
That's despicable.
Diabolical.
Well, betrayal, I mean, to be honest. And that's fine. Like, we don't need to go crazy on the radio right now. Just know, I never forget that things until my dying breath. I still remember everyone that called me fat in middle school. They're all beneath me now. They're all beneath me.
They're still saying
it. I will see your career die, Andrew, if that's what you want. Take us down. I don't care. It's over.
Well, I think Andrew was a mercenary in this situation. This was all John Burton.
Let's not forget that he's new to the area.
There's nothing wrong with taking a paycheck. You just have to be willing to face the consequences. And the consequences is eternal torture from me.
I couldn't believe it.
Burning them are one thing. I mean, they're bugs to be squashed, obviously.
Right.
Straight up.
Well, and it's like, you know, you see an anthill and you don't just like destroy the anthill. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, we're just paving a new road and oh, there's an anthill. Well, whatever. We're still paving this road. That's like what John Burton and Greg Pogue are. Right. So for Andrew, who we've had on the show, and you know, look, I appreciate Andrew. He brought me up and all this stuff. And then, you know, they jumped. I don't think any of it was coincidence. I don't think any of it was quit, but I called in and I let him know. I was like, how low are y'all going to stoop to this now that you're paying, you know, voices of the area sports to come and tarnish our name? I mean, is that what we're going to do? Am I going to have to go on Cameo now and start, you know, throwing money at Ric Flair to tell him, you know, to get him to say John Burton sucks or something? Because I'll do it. I'll do it.
I'll sabotage the plumbing in your house. You will never keep up with the damage I can cause.
How would you sabotage the plumbing? How do you know how to do that? You've only played football your whole life.
Oh, if that's all you think I've done, you're crazy. You don't get to the... I never made it to... Like, you can say all you want, but I'm a multifaceted individual. I've done other things. You don't get to the level I'm at without being insane. So I'm willing to go these extra steps. I'll take myself down. You know that more than anybody. I'll take myself down to take you down with me. I'll drag us both down. I love the abyss. I live there.
You are the drowning man. You are the drowning man.
It's fun to me. So be careful.
I couldn't believe that. Good buddy of the show, Andrew Algretta, voice of the Vandy Boys, who you'll
your
be hearing.
Buddy. I don't really care. Your buddy.
Now you're off the train now, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. At some point, you'll hear Andrew Algretta on this station tonight for Vandy. I don't know. It might be midnight at this point.
Well,
but
maybe you should send a thank you to Andrew. You should just mail something to, like, Vandy or whatever and, like, just basically send it to him.
Send him, like, a fruit basket?
No,
but,
no,
like,
no, no,
it's
no,
not
no.
fruit,
no,
if you
no,
know
no.
what I'm saying.
No, no, I'm talking about a glitter bomb.
Oh, a glitter bomb? I don't want to have to make a mess. Somebody's going to clean it up. Like,
yeah,
with
Jesus
the fart
Ray,
spray?
Be a little thoughtful.
You talking about, like, with the fart spray and stuff in there?
No, I'm talking about glitter.
Oh, just straight
actual,
up just
straight
glitter.
Up glitter.
I don't know, Andrew. Hey, Andrew. Be ready, all right? That's all I want to say. Be ready. We're going to have him on. He's going to have to explain this. That's really what's going to have to go down. Because I need to know how much money does it cost to get Andrew Algretta to jump on your side? I got to figure that number out. So we'll find out. Speaking of the Vandy boys, when we come back, we're about to take a break here. We're going to have Robbie Weinstein on to talk some Vandy boys baseball about this matchup against Ole Miss and really just kind of where Vanderbilt's at. Because obviously with this SEC tournament, you know, you're not so used to seeing them playing in the first round with single elimination. But we already saw Alabama, who was, you know, I wouldn't say a lesser team, but they were ranked lower than Georgia. Alabama beat Georgia, and they're moving on in the SEC tournament. Where does he think that not only the Vandy boys, but Tim Corbin, their headspace is right now? We're going to have that next. If you want to jump in later on in the show, 615-844-5600. We want to hear from you back after this here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. Everybody's staring at this crash over here in Belmont. It's 440 eastbound just past Hillsboro Pike. It's already busy trying to make your way towards the I-65 split coming down 440 eastbound. With some rainstorms in the area, I can see it on the radar. Be careful, especially I-40 as you make your way out through Dixon County towards Memphis. A lot of rain coming up from the south. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, it's home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
At the end of a long, stressful day, you need the Magic Hands True Shiatsu Neck and Back Massager by True Medic. At last, you don't need to make an appointment for a professional massage. It's portable and rechargeable. Order the Magic Hands True Shiatsu Neck and Back Massager Plus Heat, designed to deliver a deeply penetrating shiatsu massage to relieve aches and pains. The adjustable arm sleeves give you complete control of the intensity of your massage. The retail price is $299. QVC sells it for $199. But in this special radio offer, it is yours for just $79. Plus, we will throw in free shipping. Enjoy Magic Hands in the comfort of your own home with a recertified demo model, the True Medic Massager. Just $79 with a full one-year manufacturer's warranty and a 30-day money-back guarantee. True Medic, a brand favored by Oprah and popular with celebrities. Call now or go online for the special radio offer of just $79. Visit www.ordermagichands.com. That's ordermagichands.com. Or call 877-469-1669. Is your website a help or a hindrance? Media Lifeline brings over a decade of media experience to your rescue. We can make your business shine with our dedicated staff of designers and media experts. We offer custom website design and total website care. Never have to update or fuss with your site again. Rest assured, it's always updated and performing at its best, taking your business to the next level. Contact us today at medialifeline.net.
Here at Total Wine & More, you'll find what you love and love what you find, especially our totally low prices.
I'm firing up the grill for burgers and want to impress the neighbors.
This bourbon has a smoky flavor that'll go great for grilling.
Nice!
Wow, and look at that price.
Well done.
I prefer medium or rare. Your neighbors will love it. Find what you love, love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Pickup and delivery available at TotalWine.com. Drink responsibly, B21.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon. A couple of thunderstorms could develop under a partly sunny sky, high middle 80s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms increase in coverage with a mostly cloudy low down to 68. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Welcome back. The Afternoon Stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studios. A lot of people right now might be tuning in to this very station for some Vandy boys baseball. Right now, that is TBD, all right, to be determined, because there was a weather delay in the Alabama-Georgia matchup, and now there is, still a weather delay going on right now for Florida and South Carolina. That game is before Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. So Vandy and Ole Miss, it's getting pretty dire right now for what time that game might start. Because what's 3 hours from right now? 7:30. That's if that game started right now. I'm not sure where exactly they are with Florida and South Carolina. I know the game hadn't started yet. But all the same, it's not looking too good right now, Ray.
No, I'm going to be here for a while tonight.
You're going to be here for a while. that is a good sentiment right there. But to talk about the game that will inevitably be played, we just don't know until when or how long. Robbie Weinstein, good buddy of the show, trustworthy buddy of the show. Now that we've had Andrew Argreta turn on us, we don't know if Robbie will ever turn on us once.
Dude, Barton. I don't know. He might have already have. Listen, Robbie might have already turned. We don't know what's said behind closed doors, right? So now I'm on edge with everybody.
Hey, as long as, you know, maybe I would have turned on you guys, but having Ty Richardson on the show last week, you know, really got me back on your side. All
right. Okay, good, good. That's, you know, Robbie, at least we, once again, I'm thankful for Ty for a numerous amount of things, and that's another one. How are you doing, my man?
I'm good, I'm good. You know, sort of in the same boat as Ray here. I would not be shocked if this game ends around, you know, like 1 a.m. or something. I mean, the Florida game that you mentioned, you know, I just checked for an update, and there isn't one yet. So that's not particularly close to starting. It's still raining down there, it appears. And so, you know, I don't think Vandy is going to start before like 9 p.m. probably. Who even knows if they get this in today? I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're bumming Ray out really hard right now.
It'll be my first time doing a real late night game, though, right?
So there you go. You're used to it. This is tournament play, Ray. Welcome to
yes,
it.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Look at it right now. Robbie, I mean, you know, outside of when this game will start, we know at some point they are going to play Ole Miss. How do you think the mentality of Vanderbilt is right now? Not just the team, but also Corbin. Corbin clearly has been very frustrated, very vocally frustrated about what's been going on with Vanderbilt and how the baseball team's been playing so far. You know, single elimination tournament play with Ole Miss tonight, nothing's a guarantee right now with this Vanderbilt team.
Yeah, nothing's a guarantee. I mean, I think if you just look at their record overall this season, it's sort of, and go through their schedule, it paints the picture. It's a very talented team, as is always the case with Vanderbilt, that isn't very consistent and doesn't have, you know, other than having two or three really great players in Enrique Bradfield Jr., Spencer Jones, Dominique Keegan, you know, the rest of the roster is not super consistent and not really, probably just not good enough to consistently beat the top teams in the country. So I think from a mental standpoint, honestly, I think the Tennessee series was probably more embarrassing than this one because that's your in-state rival. But they did end up, it's not like that ended their season, the Tennessee series. They still had a couple good series wins. You know, they're the first team since 2019 to win a series in the SEC at Arkansas. So I think they'll be fine from a mental standpoint. I just think ultimately this is not a championship team like what we have seen in the past.
When you say that, I got to think Vandy fans aren't excited about that. When you say that, do you mean that you believe that they're just not going to be that team, or that it shouldn't be expected, but they still have a chance, I guess to say?
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to be that team. I mean, I wouldn't rule out, weird things happen in the postseason. It's not like, you know, it's possible that they could make the College World Series. That's effectively the Elite Eight, you know, if we're comparing it to basketball. But for sure, I mean, yeah, I don't think this is a national contender. The other thing is, you know, when you're talking about the postseason in an NCAA tournament, we don't know who Vanderbilt is going to play yet. So it's possible, you know, there are situations where a team wins a super regional and then the number one seed that's paired with them gets upset and you end up not having to play that tough of a team to get to Omaha. So I wouldn't rule anything out yet in terms of that and in terms of how deep they go in the postseason. But, you know, every year we come into June normally thinking, hey, Vanderbilt is on the short list of teams that can win the College World Series, and they are not on that short list.
Talking with Robbie Weinstein. He covers Vanderbilt for 247 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at RWWeinstein. What do you think has gotten to this point? The way we're talking about Vanderbilt, you go back to the beginning of the season, a lot of people had high hopes. I felt like I might have been, which a lot of people like to just cast down dispersions toward me and say I'm just negative, but I wasn't exactly excited for this team losing two guys like Kumar and Leiter. They were very excited. People thought about this team having a lot of, you know, good experience coming in, and they were still excited about the pitching rotation. What do you think has gotten to the point that they're sitting in the position where they're sitting at?
Right. I thought that they were going to be a great team, and so you were right about that, and I certainly was wrong. What I expected was that the issues that were so apparent at the end of last season, where it was a very top-heavy team, I thought that they would see a lot of internal development in terms of their lineup and start hitting the ball a lot better this season. They brought back, you know, just about everybody except for Isaiah Thomas. So, I mean, they had a talented group of returners in terms of the lineup, but a number of those guys haven't gotten better and in some cases have gotten worse. You know, Carter Young was a guy who I thought would actually contend for the SEC Player of the Year award, because before he injured his shoulder last season, he was having a really good year at the plate, hitting a lot of home runs, and he's always been a very good defensive player. But I think the mental side of the game probably isn't a strength for him, because he has all the talent in the world and just hasn't really played up to that standard this season. So there's, you know, he'll come back for another season of college baseball, and it's quite possible that he could bounce back. But Parker Noland also, you know, Tate Kolek, those guys haven't taken huge steps forward. Left field has been kind of not so consistent. So I think in general, the offense has not improved as much as I thought it would. And then when you talk about the pitching, you know, they don't have that frontline starter, because similarly, Christian Little, you know, he's gotten better, but he hasn't made that huge leap. Patrick Riley, I think his stats are better from last season, but he hasn't made that huge leap. So the improvement has been a little bit more incremental. And then on the other side of things, you know, with the draft being shortened and players on other teams who are seniors having the COVID year, even though Vanderbilt has a lot of returners, they're not necessarily that experienced in terms of years in college baseball relative to some of the teams that they're playing.
Do you think this is just like a fluke year? Because a fluke year, they could still be good. Obviously, if this is a fluke year for Vanderbilt, we're not talking their bottom of the barrel or anything. But it does feel like this is a bump in the road of a very long highway.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this happened, you know, they had a team that was less successful than this one a couple of times between when they lost the College World Series finals in 2015 and then when they won it in 2019, like a couple years in there. I think they missed the CWS three straight times. I think twice they were eliminated before the Super Regional. And, you know, this is kind of, you know, they still then end up, you know, within a couple of years, once they had a veteran team, then they had one of the best teams in College World Series history and college baseball history and won the national championship. You know, they still recruit at an elite level. And to me, you know, they're still probably going to be a number two seed in the NCAA tournament. So it's not like they're a bad team. Until, you know, there's maybe like multiple years in a row of this going on, I tend to think that maybe they just missed on some guys in recruiting. Maybe, you know, the COVID year probably plays into it a little bit. Injuries play into it a little bit. They've got a couple key guys who are out for the season with Tommy John. So, yeah, I mean, I would need more evidence to say that this is, you know, a permanent thing.
Talking with Robbie Weinstein, you can follow him on Twitter at RW Weinstein. He covers Vanderbilt for 247 Sports. Let me propose a different idea, just another thought on, you know, what's happening with Vanderbilt, because I believe, like I said, I think it's a fluke year. I think you can kind of feel it that way. But another idea that I've been kind of playing around with is more or less that the talent level in the SEC as a whole for baseball has clearly shot up. You know, obviously you look at Tennessee, that's one way to look at it. How they've gotten so much stronger so far. And, I mean, obviously now leading the SEC, you have Tony Vitello, Coach of the Year, all these different things. Do you think that could be more or less that the SEC as a whole is catching up to Vanderbilt?
I think that plays a small role. At the same time, you know, Tennessee is the best team in college baseball by far this season, but Mississippi State, the champion from last year, had a horrible season. You know, Vandy didn't get – they got also, you know, their schedule. They got all the top teams out of the SEC West, and that, you know, affects the record that you're going to have. So I do think, you know, like a similar thing is going on at Florida, where Florida for a few years now has not been, you know, quite so dominant as they were for a little bit there when they won the national championship and were really the top challenger to Vanderbilt in the SEC East for quite a while. But I do think there's a little bit of just ebb and flow where, you know, South Carolina has a really weak program right now, if we're being honest. So as, you know, some of the teams like Tennessee come up, Texas A&M, you know, hired a new coach and looks great, there are some teams that are falling back down, you know, kind of to replace them. So, maybe to some extent the talent level is a thing, and maybe NIL will help with that also in getting more guys to college baseball. But overall, I still, you know, I get it, and I get what everybody says about Tennessee and you know, the recruiting and how they've caught up to Vanderbilt and all that. But I need more than one season, you know, to really claim that this is a thing.
Well, you know, it's funny too, because the one thing that I hear, because we obviously have a lot of Vandy fans that call into the show, and the one thing I constantly hear that is between anybody, whether, you know, it's certain callers who call in all the time or just anyone, if they're a Vandy baseball fan, the thing that I constantly hear is that, well, you look at Tennessee and, you know, Vitello, and look at the difference between Corbin and Vanderbilt. Well, there's two national championships there. You know, if Tennessee goes on to win two national championships within the next 5 years, are they to the same level as Vanderbilt 5 years from now?
Yeah, I think they probably are. The other thing is that there's talk that potentially scholarships could be increased in college baseball. Right now it's 11.7, and yeah, it does help Vanderbilt that they have a great financial aid program that has nothing to do with the athletic department, just the university in general. You know, you can get guys a lot of financial aid, and that helps when, you know, the sports scholarships are limited. If that number goes up, that'll also help Tennessee, honestly. And Tim Corbin has admitted this. That's not the reason why Vanderbilt has won these national championships, because there are some other programs or universities like Rice and Northwestern that have very strong athletic programs, or sorry, financial aid programs, and, you know, don't have the same success on the baseball diamond. But I do think, yeah, I mean, I think that Tennessee can get there, and if they were to win two national championships, you know, in the next 5 years, then that's significant. At the same time, I also think Tim Corbin has been doing this for 20 years, and they have a very long, long track record of success. They're not going to win the national championship every season. And, you know, at the same time, Tennessee could certainly win two championships in the next 5 years. That would not be shocking to me. But Vanderbilt could win one in that span. You know, they're going to be back there.
Well, like, let's hope so. Let's hope so. So let me ask you this, because you mentioned this at the beginning of this interview, talking, you don't feel like they're going to make it. They're not a championship team. You don't feel like they are, which I think that's a fair assessment. You know, Vandy fans probably don't want to hear that, but where do you think realistically Vanderbilt falls, and what part of the everything, where does their season end effectively?
Sure. I think on average, and, you know, that, like I said, I mentioned that you never know who's going to be there at Super Regional and even whose regional you're going to go in. Right now I would predict they win their regional, a little bit of an upset where they're going to be number two seed and they're going to have to win on the road. I think they do that, and then they lose in Super Regionals also on the road. That's where I would go, because I do think, even though they're not, you know, one of the 10 or 15 best teams in the country, they still have a record of 35-19 against a very difficult schedule. They took that series from Arkansas. They've showed, you know, they can reach like really high heights when they're on. So I tend to suspect they're going to get out of the rugged SEC and you know, go play at an ACC team in a regional and have some success probably. However, I understand that Vanderbilt fans are going to want a College World Series appearance, but I do think it'll put it in perspective a little bit. If they win a regional again and get to Supers and come close to getting to the CWS, even with a team that clearly is weaker than, you know, the last couple of seasons, or you know, maybe not counting the COVID season since they only got like 15 games in, that'll kind of show like, hey, you know, of course this isn't maybe as good of a team as we expected in the preseason, as good of a team as fans want to see from Vanderbilt year in and year out, with all the advantages that they have as a program in terms of the history and the talent level, but it's still a good team. They've won some good series. They've got some very good players. And I think some of the noise is a little bit overdone, just, you know, off of one sweep when 2 weekends ago they won, you know, kind of one of the heaviest weighted series from a resume standpoint that anybody in the SEC has won all season. I mean, taking 2 out of 3 at Arkansas is a really big deal.
It's not
ancient history either. That was only 2 weeks ago.
Well, Robbie, this will be the final one, and really the most important one, I guess, is what's on the menu tonight? Because now you thought you were going to get an early dinner watching Vanderbilt. Now it looks like you're going to have a late dinner. So are we changing it up? Was it pizza at first, but now you're thinking something a little bit lighter? What's going on?
You know, I was actually going to go to the Halsey concert in Thompson Station with my girlfriend. We got tickets like a few weeks ago, and there was no, who knows what time Vanderbilt was going to be playing at, or if they were even going to be playing on Tuesday at that point. But since it's raining, we're not going to go to that. I don't know what. I think probably going to make some pizza here or something along those lines, and I guess an early dinner. It's got to be, right? I don't know when this game may not start till like 10 p.m. or something. I mean, geez, good luck to those players like staying awake that long.
I know. Good luck to all of us because we're gonna have to watch it and talk about it tomorrow. So it's gonna be tough for us. At least they're doing something, besides just watching. Hey, Robbie, I appreciate you jumping on with us, especially last minute, because obviously I texted Robbie literally an hour before we were starting, I think, and was like, "Hey, man, we need somebody." I threw the bat signal out there, and he answered. Appreciate you so much, Robbie.
Yeah, no problem. Hoover Met needs to get a dome. That's what needs to happen. Dude. I'm tired of this stuff.
Yeah, they really do. You can follow Robbie on Twitter at RW Weinstein. He covers Vanderbilt for 247. Robbie, once again, have a good day. We'll catch you down the road, my man.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Robbie Weinstein joining us there. Good guy right there. Does some good due diligence. Also, just
good guy as far as we know.
As far as we know for now, until John Burton's crusty little hands reach into his wallet and shove some rectangular greenbacks in his face, and then all of a sudden Robbie Weinstein hates us.
And then I'll be shoving my hand into Robbie Weinstein's face and John Burton's, yes.
Your hands are very crusty right now. Very crusty. I've got some questions. We come back, because we're about to run to a break. I've got some questions for Bruno to get the athlete point of view of what the Vandy boys are having to deal with like a weather delay, stretching, all that. I want to hear what Bruno's going to say on the other side. If you want to jump in, 615-844-5600, we want to hear from you as well. Once again, just a reminder for anybody who might be jumping in, listening for Vandy boys, there is a giant weather delay that is happening. The Florida game hasn't even started, which is a game before Vanderbilt. We're not quite sure yet what the start time for Vanderbilt's going to be. The second we do know, we're either going to say it on the show or we're going to have it on all of our social media platforms. So be up to date with that. Nash Sports Radio across everything. Back after this here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. I'm looking at a wreck out here in Bellevue. It's going to be on 40 eastbound at Old Hickory Boulevard. It's got traffic really slow here on 40 eastbound. Again, at OHB out here on the west side. All this weather moving through our area is not helping rush hour, that's for sure. We've had a couple of wrecks already on 440. That's still running slow eastbound between 65 and Nolensville Pike. It's very heavy 24 east because of a crash there near James Robertson Parkway. That's got traffic bogged down 24 eastbound there up by Ellington Parkway. Hey, mermaids return Memorial Day weekend at Ripley's Aquarium. Check them out at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
At J&J Printers, they like to answer the question, can you? It's their mission to help you achieve the best possible printing, regardless of quantity, complexity, or budget. At J&J, they believe if it's important enough to print, it's important enough to print right. So yes, J&J can help your business with the design of your brochure or printing those business cards. They can even help you process that mailing. See why Nashville has relied on J&J Printers for over 35 years. Check them out online at jandjprinters.com.
The Braves are back, and they're on a mission to defend the East, defend the National League pennant, and defend their world title.
Fly ball hit to deep center field, retreating to Smith, at the track, at the wall, she's gone!
Tonight, it's another huge division battle at Truist Park in Atlanta as Dansby Swanson and the Braves square up with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Coverage begins this afternoon at 6:05 on your home for the Atlanta Braves, Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Welcome back. The afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Appreciate Robbie Weinstein joining us in that last segment talking about Vandy Boys baseball right now. For anyone who might be jumping in, expecting to hear Andrew Algretta, formerly best friend of the afternoon stretch, hopefully on the mend there. You won't be hearing that for a little bit on this very station, because there is a weather delay going on with the SEC baseball tournament. I'm not sure if Florida has gotten underway yet. I don't believe they are. I believe they're still delayed currently. So they haven't even started the game yet for Florida and South Carolina. Once that game's over with and then they're able to go, then it'll be Vandy and Ole Miss turn. So we don't know the start time. Right now it says 7 p.m. I can tell you that's a lie. That ain't happening at all. Let's go to the phone lines if you want to jump in. 615-844-5600. We want to hear from you. Clay in Nashville. Clay, how you doing, man?
Zach, it's been too long. I thought it was time for me to check back in.
Good. I was getting worried.
Now, I'm a very honest man, Zach, and I'm speaking to the former number 61 offensive lineman at Vanderbilt, Mr. Bruno Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bruno, don't put me in the figure four now when I'm about to say what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I want to know, you know, the latest update on your professional football career. I have not seen a game, and that's honest. I have continued to wish you the best, though, because as I told you a while back, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate what you did for Vanderbilt football. You're a heck of a player, great offensive lineman. You know, it's easy, Bruno, to be a fan of Alabama. It's easy to be a fan of a team that wins all the time. Does Vanderbilt, you know, maybe need more fans? Yes. Would winning more help? Yes. But people like me and the core fans that truly care about our football program, you know, are always interested, are always there, appreciate the players, the hard work they put in, things like that. So I just wanted to say that to you, and I do wish you the very best, you know, with everything you do in the future. I'd love to see you play in the NFL, quite frankly, but just don't put me in a judo hold or the figure four or anything like that, because I haven't watched many of your games.
Nah, it's no problem. Don't worry. Football for me, man, I don't know. It's pretty over. I'm still technically in the USFL right now under contract. I don't know how that's all going to work out. I'm young. Just turned 26 today, so I'm stuck in that point of life where, you know, I want to go back and play and kind of relive it, but I also desperately want to try and move on and find something new. It's that thing, but you're not wrong when you say it's easy to be a fan of Alabama and it's hard to be a fan of a Vanderbilt, because this has been exhausting being an alumni, so I feel you there.
Today's your birthday?
Yeah.
He is 26 years old.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
This is crazy what's going on down in Hoover. Obviously, Auburn and Kentucky aren't playing tonight. Do you guys think, you know, getting four baseball games in one day is hard enough? Because, for instance, when you've got a game, let's say, like the LSU-Vandy game, 21-10. I mean, you're looking at 4 hours, you know, when there's a ton of runs like that. And they've got, I guess, what, maybe at least 30 minutes between games. They probably have to. I just wonder if depending on how long this thing goes and how far they get into the tournament tonight, if they would maybe have to consider going seven-inning games tomorrow. Do you think that's something they'd consider?
No, I don't think they can do that, just because the fact that they already went through the first game, it, you know, if you're not going to do that for the entire – because of tournament, if you're not going to do that for the entire tournament and you're just going to do it for one day, that would make no sense. It would have to be the entire tournament change, which they're not going to do. What they're going to do is – and I think this has happened before. Like, this isn't an oddity or anything, but – you know, they'll play at 2 o'clock in the morning. They'll play whenever just to get the games in, because this is tournament play. They have no other option to figure. They have to figure it out. But I don't think they're going to change any of the rules. What I think they need to maybe consider is having two sites. You know, having you know, maybe you start off the tournament and at two different parks that eventually comes to the championship. The SC tournament being in Hoover. I don't know how that works with that, but you know, it is kind of crazy that they're going to get that many games done. And every year we have this problem. I feel like with one weather delay throws everything off, and then you're throwing off different. I mean, just all kinds of schedules that are wrapped around this. So there needs to be some kind of change that happens to this for sure.
Now, I guess regionals start Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Next Friday,
yeah.
They're announced at 11 o'clock, I believe, normally on Memorial Day, because I've actually been to the, you know, release of the brackets and things like that at the Commodore Grill with the Corbs and the players. I guess they could push that back potentially if this thing stretched into Monday.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to – it could. There's so many what-ifs and everything. Because they're limited with one field, it's just – it is what it is right now in Hoover. So I just feel like they're going to play at some point, and it's not going to be a fun, you know, we're all going to look back at this a year from now or whenever, a month from now, and say, oh yeah, remember when, you know, we had to wait till 2 o'clock in the morning to watch Vanderbilt play or something weird like that. You know, it's just, it's not a fun thing, Clay.
Here's my take, you know, kind of now going forward with Corbs, you know, and his team. LSU, I think, came in here pretty ticked off. They got swept by Ole Miss at home the weekend before. I think the wind blowing out affected that game. For instance, it's 8-4 Vanderbilt in the seventh inning, that 3-run homer that cut it to 8-7. If not for the wind, Bradfield probably catches that ball, because quite frankly, I thought he had caught it. It barely cleared the wall. But it's the same for both teams. I'm not making an excuse. It just is what happened. But this is a team, Zach, that in my opinion, and I'm just trying to be very honest as a realistic Vanderbilt fan, in Carter Holton, in Dylan Fertrell, in Thomas Schultz, I know he just didn't have it Saturday. That happens in baseball. But you've got three quality arms, I think, there, SEC arms. I do believe that. As far as players, Bradfield is electric on the bases. He's also, you know, really, I guess he's hit, what, 8 or 9 home runs this year. I think he had one last year, so obviously he's gotten stronger. Spencer Jones, a quality SEC, you know, batter. Dominic Keegan, a quality SEC batter. But up and down the lineup, you know, 1 through 9, maybe there's not the consistency. So it's all about, to me, going forward, more consistent pitching and more consistent hitting. Do you agree?
No, I think you hit it right on the head, Clay. And hey, I appreciate the call in, brother. We're about to have to hit a break here. But I agree. It's been the inconsistencies have been obvious right now for Vanderbilt. And hopefully I might be a little too late for this season, but going forward, they got to figure it out. We got to run to a break. If you want to jump in, 615-844-5600 here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. I'm still looking at this crash. Two cars, maybe three, up against the wall in Bellevue. It's over here 40 eastbound at OHB. It's got traffic really slow again here on the west side of Nashville on 40 eastbound at Old Hickory Boulevard. Traffic's running slow because of the weather, especially 65 south down through Brentwood, Franklin, all the way down into Spring Hill. It's busy, but it's moving. I-40 out through Mount Juliet. Mermaids return Memorial Day weekend at Ripley's Aquarium. Check them out online at ripleysaquariumofthesmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Texas Motor Speedway was the site of NASCAR Xfinity Series action over the weekend, where Tyler Reddick grabs the checkered flag and lands Big Machine's first series victory as a team.
It's a huge deal for me. I know how hard everyone at Big Machine Racing has worked to get to where they're at today, from where they started, and to be a part of that, over the last two races, and go to work at making the cars better, trying to figure out what it's going to take to get them to where they're wanting to perform. And perform was a huge and exciting opportunity for me. And we were pretty good at Darlington, but as a whole, between us and RCR and colleague, we weren't really happy with where our cars were. And we really went to work over the last 2 weeks using that off week. Yeah, I messed it up, Marissa. Yeah, thank you. I think you're the only one laughing. But we had to go to work. And we certainly found some things, made the cars better. And we were expecting it to be more in the right direction when we got here to Texas. But for our cars to have the speed that they did when we got here was pretty unreal. So just hats off to everyone at RCR, Big Machine Racing, for going to work and making these cars better.
All right, let's see here. William Byron was second, followed by Sam Mayer, Justin Allgaier, and Austin Hill rounds out the top five. Up next for the series is Charlotte Motor Speedway, and that's coming up this weekend.
TheFinalLap.com.
Now Martha Stewart for Skechers.
When I make a dish or embark on a craft project, I always use the finest, most fabulous ingredients and materials. Which is why, when it comes to footwear, I love Skechers. Because Skechers is the comfort technology company and uses the most luxurious, innovative materials and designs to make wondrously comfortable footwear. It's exactly the way I'd make shoes. They've meticulously designed stylish footwear with all the fits and features you want. They have fits like wide fit, relaxed fit, stretch fit, arch fit, and more. Plus, they have luxurious features including Skechers' world-famous air-cooled memory foam. It's like walking on a cool side of the pillow all day long. And best of all, they find a way to keep them affordable. You simply can't get more comfort and style for your dollar. So if you want the kind of footwear I'd create, get yourself a pair of Skechers. It's comfort with style and more.
Find Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Hey, Braves fans, it's time for baseball, and that means it's time to cheer on the World Series defending champions, the Atlanta Braves, in the 2022 season. Attorney Klein Preston of the Klein Preston Law Group wants you to join him in cheering on the World Series defending champions, the Atlanta Braves, for the start of the 2022 season. Here's to another amazing season for Braves country here on your home for the Atlanta Braves, Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams. Final seconds of the first hour. Once again, for anybody who thought maybe they were going to be hearing Vandy baseball right now, once again, huge weather delay going on with the SEC tournament. So you're stuck with Bruno and I right now.
That's woo, it. Baby! Hanging out with the boys.
The boys. We're ready, though. We got a whole second hour coming up because I guarantee you Vandy's not going to cut into that second hour either.
Yep. We're all in, baby. What about tomorrow, Zach? Does this can potentially affect all of our schedules tomorrow? Because I know the people are just dying to hear us more.
I mean, it could. That okay. It really could. I don't know if there's a time limit cutoff or anything. I got to find that out, that if they don't get the game in by a start time tonight, if they will push it to tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know where that's going to be. This is because Florida and South Carolina have not started yet. That's all I do know. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you up to date. Stay with Nash Sports Radio on all of our platforms as well. First hour's done. Second hour coming up.
Springfield. Another deadly mass shooting, this time in Texas. Police responding to an active shooter at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. Governor Greg Abbott says 14 students, one teacher, and the suspect are dead. Ryan Ramirez among family members at the scene in Uvalde.
Keep asking questions of what's going on, and nobody's telling me anything. Nobody's telling me anything. Just confused and worried. I'm trying to find out where my baby's at.
Governor Abbott said the suspect was an 18-year-old student at Uvalde High School. The National Counterterrorism Operations Center says the shooting does not appear to be terrorism. A spokesperson at Memorial Hospital earlier confirming 13 children arrived at the ER to be treated, their injuries and conditions not known. Primaries taking place in five states today, and voter turnout expected to be up across the board. In Georgia, state races pitting Republican incumbents against Trump-endorsed challengers. This is ABC News.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I'm asking about Prevnar 20, because there's a chance pneumococcal pneumonia could put me in the hospital.
Age 65 or older, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I want to be able to keep my plans.
So I'm asking my doctor about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
Switching and saving with GEICO is easy, so you're free to ponder life's big questions. Like if a person can get discombobulated, does that mean the rest of the time they're just like combobulated? Are we humans always in a state of combobulation? Until, of course, something dramatic happens and we are discombobulated for a while. Then we go back to being combobulated. Yeah, that's probably how that works. Switch and save with GEICO. It's easier than you think.
Celebrate spring at Slim Chickens with a grilled chicken strawberry salad. Fresh greens piled with feta cheese, crisp cucumbers, candied pecans, and 100% all-natural grilled tenders. Topped with red, ripe strawberries. The grilled chicken strawberry salad. But hurry, it's only back for a limited time. Need a sweet spring treat? Upgrade your drink with any adult meal to a hand-spun strawberry milkshake. Slim Chickens. Dine in, drive through, online, or delivery.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whether you like Alabama or not, you're witnessing an unparalleled, unprecedented run. You're living it. You're watching it. You have memories that are deep of it. To be that dominant, you don't get to see that through the years that much. But this right here is crazy. This right here is off the chart. Can't believe it's happening, and they're not slowing down.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Okay, it's happening.
It's the afternoon stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm. Sure. Stay calm.
Now here's Bruno and Zach.
Second hour of the afternoon stretch here on Nashville Sports Radio. Coming to you live from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here. You want to get involved, 615-844-5600. Phone lines wide open. We want to hear from you. The second hour, once again, we were all planning to be watching and listening to Vandy Boys baseball right now. So if you're jumping in on the station wondering what's going on with that, it's because there's a weather delay that's going on for the game before them. Still not even playing yet. South Carolina and Florida, they're the game before Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. I've been looking everywhere for like a list of full rules, rain out regulations, whatever they're going to try. Can't find it. Can't find anything. I just need to hit up, I guess, some people that I know over there and see what they can give us about. But there's nothing online, like a rule. I assumed, Bruno, there'd be like a rule book online at least.
I mean, good luck. That's all I'll tell you. They really don't have to do anything. They really don't have to put that rule book up online. No. It probably isn't. They could probably just make whatever decision they want on the fly, and that's probably what will happen.
It's probably exactly what's going to happen. All right. I wanted to ask you, though, Bruno. I kind of teased it, and then we had a caller obviously come in and then didn't get to ask you a question. You know, Vanderbilt, where they've been, I'm not going to say, I mean, the season hasn't been a success, obviously. I wouldn't think anybody would say it's for sure been a success. But this is a very important game still inside the SEC tournament because we all know Vanderbilt and the SEC is they're the powerhouse, and they have been for so long. Now, this game against Ole Miss, it's single elimination. So it's a win or go home kind of situation for Vanderbilt. Ole Miss, you know, just like with every other SEC team right now, is no slouch. What's the mental hurdle or dexterity or whatever word you want to use that a player, when they have delays, what do they have to, you know, go through? What do they have to kind of try to fix themselves to, you know, be ready for a game that's delayed this far?
Well, Zach, the first thing I remember, the only delay I had really long was probably MTSU my redshirt freshman year. And what we did was we had 2 minutes left before halftime, and then we had an hour delay. So we had an hour delay, went back out there, played 2 minutes, then had halftime, right? So the first thing we all did was we went to the locker room, took all of our gear off, and we laid down. We turned like the lights off a little bit for a little bit. I mean, it was just trying to just find some peace, relax, solace. It's different for every team. It's different for everybody. Personally, for me, man, I sleep. I'm probably the worst person to ask because I have a very strange relationship with sleeping and competing. Like, I just like finding that place of solace and serenity. And that's me. It really changes for everybody. A guy like, you know, Kyle might go over the game plan in the first 10 plays for 8 hours. It's really what works for you, and that's kind of the essence of high level stuff. When you get to the college and you get to the pros, you have to let whatever works for the individual kind of play out. You know, there's no, oh, we're all going to do this because this is the tried and true best method to deal with this crazy situation. Heck, if anything, they know they're not playing till super late. Just let them stay at the hotel. You know, don't even bus them up. Don't get them to the locker room. Just let them hang out at the hotel or wherever they're at.
So you think that's just more or less like, because, I mean, you know, obviously with baseball, you got to get your arm warmed up. You got to get your pitchers going. You got, you know, things.
You'll have warm-ups before you know it. You know, you don't need to do anything crazy, though. Like, you don't need to be at the stadium all day. Like, oh, we need to be there while the other game is playing. You can load up the bus and get over there whenever. You know what I'm saying?
Do you believe in, like, over warming up? I've heard that before. Overtraining,
yes.
If you will.
Oh, my God. Of course. I mean, football literally overwarms up. We have hour-long warm-up period before a game. It's the dumbest thing on the planet, and every single team does it because it's just the culture. Yeah, you can overwarm up. Most people psych themselves out during the warm-up. I've seen people with anxiety problems literally leave because you have an hour to warm up and think about how you're going to mess up. Like, but me, I sleep, and I wake up, and I want to go do the thing.
You are the worst person to ask for
that. Yeah, it's a terrible question. I have a very unique answer to everything.
Yeah, well, it's not a terrible question. It's just a terrible person to ask it.
Terrible question to ask me.
Well, you know,
what should an athlete do? I don't know. Whatever they think works.
That's a good answer, though. That's a good answer because
Jack Leiter wanted to, I don't know, I don't even know what's something ridiculous. Eat 10 pounds of sushi before a game. Like, you let the kid do it. You don't say, oh, that's not in the baseball handbook. You just let the kid do whatever, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, Jack Leiter ain't walking through those halls right now for Vanderbilt. That would be somebody they could use on a one-time game. You know, on a one-time, just beat Ole Miss to get to, because, you know, this is the thing. If you like the SEC tournament right now, if you're looking at the actual bracket, what they're set to face, if Vandy wins, the winner of this contest, let me say it that way, they're going to face Tennessee, you know, and obviously people want to see that Vanderbilt Tennessee, that fight just in general, and that's going to be a double elimination game. So, you know, that's everybody wants that, but that's going to be the meat and potatoes of the tournament right there is Vanderbilt taking on Tennessee in the second round. I mean, that's a huge, like, I don't think you would think Vanderbilt is looking forward. You know, they're not going to look past, obviously, Ole Miss, but still, just knowing that's on the other side, and who knows what the field conditions are like, who knows with how much rain they're getting. I haven't seen any kind of update yet. It's just going to be tough right now. Can we change the subject a little bit though, Bruno? Is that okay? Or do you want to keep talking?
Please do it. I'm tired of talking about baseball.
Our baseball insider, Bruno Reagan, is done talking about baseball.
You know, the only thing good about that sport is how the coaches dress up like the players. I think every sport should do that. That's just me though.
You have like Mike Vrabel like in full.
I want to see Nick Saban looking goofy on the sideline with a helmet on, full pads.
I've never thought about that. Do you know why coaches dress in the uniform for baseball?
No.
It's because there used to be manager players back in the day, so you could be a coach player, and you know you may have to play. I don't think it happens anymore. I don't even know if it's still like an actual rule or anything like that, but it was because the players, I think Pete Rose was the last one to do it, to actually play and be a coach or a manager or whatever. That's why they do that, because it's like their reserve essentially.
Yeah, so 100%. I mean, then that, I'd say we do it with college football coaches and we put them in for a play too and just see what happens.
you just have like, I'm thinking like, you know, Stackhouse over at Vanderbilt. He's just in a jersey, like he's like shorts. He's got the sweatbands and stuff on.
I want to see wrestling coaches. That's my thing.
I've never thought about how weird it is that they are the only ones and nobody else does that. That would be good. I've always thought it's stupid for like football coaching, especially in the NFL. They all have to wear like the team gear. They can't. I think the coaches should be wearing like they used to at the NFL. They should have like a suit on or something. You're the head coach of the team, you know, like you're showing up in basically sleeping clothes or like workout clothes, which is what the team gear is. I like dressing like that too. But I feel like, you know, on game day, like you should be in like a suit and tie or something.
Why?
Because it just looks more professional.
Do you?
You have to be. You know what I mean? You are. We talk about all these coaches are all professionals all the time. Like it's stupid that they're just wearing, you know, a Nike pullover with, you know, whatever branding's on it.
You know what I have to say? That you're stupid.
That's a terrible argument.
No, it's not. It's literally half of arguments on radio.
Well, let's switch subjects here, because do you know, outside of your birthday, do you know what also today is?
Oh, no. Am I supposed to?
I mean, I would kind of hope you would know, but I'm also not super, because you're just getting back into the fold. You know, you're still like shaking off the USFL like mentality and day to day. So you may be unaware right now, and your Twitter algorithm probably isn't showing you that properly right now.
I'm pretty unaware.
Today was OTAs for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh wow. Yeah, I wouldn't care even if I was out of the loop. Like OTAs, I was frustrated yesterday looking at Melvin Gordon's comments. He did a podcast. Everyone's like, why aren't you at OTAs? I was like, as if Melvin Gordon needs to go over inside zone again for the 15th time in his career. I hate anything that's stupid, which is what OTAs are. It's stupid.
Well, you know who didn't show up for OTAs with the Packers and everybody was wondering?
I wonder who.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead.
So for the Tennessee Titans today, though, it was more or less just having Tannehill there to comment. And the big comment that comes out of this is, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but what he said basically is he's going to be a great teammate to Malik Willis. And all that stuff that happened got so wildly crazy whenever he said he's not going to be a mentor and all this kind of stuff to Malik Willis. He said that was insane. It spun out of control, basically, and that he is going to be a great teammate to Malik Willis.
Ryan, I don't know. Why do you even need to clarify the comments and apologize? Because a bunch of fat, overrated white dudes just want to make something up so we can all make $200 more dollars than we usually
signal with you, Bruno. We might have like an internet droppage or something. I'm not sure.
No way.
It's dropping. Now you sound better. Now you sound better. Say everything you just said again.
I just don't get why we need like, you know, these like why Ryan Tannehill needs to apologize for something fat old white dudes made up. Like just to draw clicks. I mean, It's so ridiculous.
Is that, you think that's going to quell like all of the Titan fan base that turned on Ryan Tannehill like immediately?
Well, the Titans fan base has turned on Ryan Tannehill ever since he threw a pick in the first play of the game. So that's something you just got to kind of understand.
What's the point of OTAs, honestly? Like,
young guys, get the young guys reps.
Yeah, it's just the young guys, right?
I mean, it really isn't. Like, it's good for conditioning to get people back in, because you don't want to just get on the first day of camp. And the NFL has, I'm sure they have, you know, necessary acclimation periods, which means like you go helmets for the first day and then spiders and then softer pads and then you go full pads, right? They don't just throw you in full pads the first day, but OTAs are a good way to get your football skill, to take all that you've done in the offseason, translate it onto a football field before you actually have to perform at a quote unquote camp in front of the coaches.
I mean,
but it's mainly a huge young guy thing. Teams do like really hard OTAs, which is abysmally stupid. The 49ers do it, and people get hurt all the time. So,
yeah, well, and you know, they showed, of course, the video and everything. You can only get like the individual drills and everything. But and then after the first 25 minutes, like, it's like the practice doesn't even happen, so you can't even talk about it.
I love how secretive NFL coaches are too. Like. Like, they don't run the same plays in playbook every single year, and then all the film isn't already. Like, I get it, but at the same time, also, it's like there's no secrets in the NFL, like, play-wise.
You would think there is, though, right? Like, the way that it's all kept. I mean, because even with, like, college
football. You
would think
there is. There's an illusion of it, yeah.
And then no matter what, Bill Belichick's somewhere filming your practice.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, you go out there every week and do the same plays anyways. What good would it do to film practice? We have your game film. Yeah. We know what you do.
Yeah, and it's not like it's going to take a rocket science to figure out that Tennessee Titans are going to run the ball with Derrick Henry.
I mean, how are they going to run it? A lot.
A lot of times. That's just over and over again until his foot literally is powder. The bones are just powder inside of his skin, and the foot's just sitting there flopping, just boneless, essentially. Like, that's just how they're going to run the ball. I mean, that's how it feels like they're going to do it. Am I wrong?
What a picture painted.
Yeah.
That was a good.
Yeah, theater of the mind, Bruno. That's what they say in radio. Yeah, it should be. It did send a good image of it, though. I think everybody understood exactly what I was saying by that point. So... That's the key to radio right there. Theater of the mind. Day one, Bruno. You want to paint the picture for the listener. I think I just did that.
I think we should let media people participate in the OTAs. Why not? They're already a joke anyway, so.
They should do something more like that for charity, because what do we have, you know, come combine time, you have like the NFL Network does the Run Rich Run, where they have Rich Eisen go and do the 40. And that's all for charity. And then he got like Mike Vick, who still ran like a 4.4 at like whatever age he is. And then RG3 did it and all this kind of stuff. They should do that like on the local level too. There's so many.
I love when RG3 ran that 40, got like a 4.4 or whatever. And then immediately went on Twitter, it was like, yeah, NFL teams are calling me. And then the replies are just like, why are you lying, bro?
Yeah, that story completely fell off immediately. Like he was there. It's
almost as if he made it up.
I don't think he made it up, though.
Oh, I think he did.
I feel like maybe it was just a joke that seems real. But if he
has an agent, he made it up, because NFL teams will never contact you if you have an agent. They'll always just go to your agent. Why would they contact you?
Just like the social media intern is just like. he's like the social media interns for like the Lions or like DMing him on Twitter. Hey, you want to play for the Lions?
Like, oh my gosh, you look really good running here. We'll get you suited up, dude.
You
RG3 falls for it.
Yeah. He's like, they're hitting me up right now. Teams contract deals are getting in place. You know, we have a lot going on here. All right, if you want to jump in, 615-844-5600, we need to run to a break. Steve over in Brent will be up first when we come back. Before we go to that break, though, you know, we got to talk about our friends over at Nissan of Rivergate, located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison, 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison, but a mile or so away from the Rivergate Mall area, if you're familiar with it. Right now is the best time to trade in your vehicle. I mean, vehicles are used cars right now are crazy high right now. And trust me, they want your used vehicle. Go check them out online, nissanofrivergate.com. Dealer.com. That's where you go. You can see their full inventory of vehicles right there on the website, and you could take virtual tours of those vehicles. And the most important thing, you could talk to someone 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. That's the best way to do it. They always have someone there on the online for you to talk about your vehicle or your questions that you have. NissanRivergate.com, located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. See them in person. That's Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Six Man Movers here in Nashville is looking for people to join their growing team. They are currently accepting applications for 5 to 10 more members to fill their roster through their website, sixmanmovers.com. Once there, choose resources, then click on We're Hiring. Fill out the form and a member of their team will be in touch. Experience is preferred and you must have a valid driver's license. It pays $15 to $21 an hour depending on your experience. Come join the Six Man Mover crew and get paid to work out. Other great perks include getting paid weekly for your hours, plus tips, flexible scheduling, and much more. You will love being a part of this dynamic roster with Six Man Movers. To apply, just go to sixmanmovers.com, then click on We're Hiring, or give them a call at 615-830-1313 for more information. Again, that number is 615-830-1313. That's Six Man Movers, more than just a Nashville moving company. We exist to help you change your life. Make your next move a win with Six Man Movers.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You may think every weather app is the same until you see WeatherBug over-deliver on so many layers. With more free map layers than any other weather app, WeatherBug warns you the moment lightning strikes near you, prepares you for your commute with road conditions, routes, and even cameras. With everything from pollen and air quality to severe storm risks, radar, and satellite coverage, WeatherBug prepares you for the unpredictable. Download the WeatherBug app, trusted by over 10 million users, today for free.
The world champs are back. The Braves are out to defend their world championship. And behind Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, Dansby Swanson, Max Fried, and this loaded 2022 roster, a repeat is within reach.
Here goes Ozzy, 2-2 on the way, hit well. Deep center field. Might have ourselves a tie ball game. You betcha.
And we'll bring you every huge moment of the Braves 2022 season right here.
The Braves, live here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the afternoon stretch. Brenna Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. So I'm seeing here the SEC tweeted out for the SEC tournament going on. Due to inclement weather, game two will start at a time TBD, which we all knew. We expect a significant delay. Game four, which Vanderbilt is game three, game four will not be played tonight and has been moved to tomorrow, May 25th, at a time TBD. So everything is just TBD right now, Bruno. Everything. And they're not going to play. So it seems like Vandy, they're at least saying Vandy is going to happen tonight. That's what we do know. But the game after them will not be happening tonight.
I think all sports should just kind of pick up on this trend and just don't tell people start times and just be like, we could play in the afternoon and then, you know, just tip off for NBA playoff is at like 9 p.m.
Just constantly, you know, just keep everyone guessing. People would be way more tuned onto their social media feeds if they knew that was the only time they knew when the game was going to start. And don't let the players know either. You know, really keep
them. Oh, my God, that's a good one. Oh, my God, Luka just didn't show up. He didn't know. Whoops.
I mean, it kind of hasn't shown up anyway in real life. All right, let's go to the phone line, 615-844-5600. Steve in Brentwood. Steve, how you doing, man?
Not bad, guys. Hope you are well.
Doing well. Hey,
I won't bore Bruno with any more baseball talk. I know he can't
take
anymore. hey, we talked about this guy before, Spencer, on YouTube. He did a video. I haven't gotten to watch it yet, but it's titled, Are UFC Fighters Actually Underpaid? Are they? Is that true?
Well, I'll let Bruno take all that question.
In the nature of their business, in comparison to other quote-unquote leagues, yes, they are underpaid. They're not unionized. The estimated profit split right now between the UFC's profit and the revenue share with the fighters is about 80-20 split, right, whereas most, you know, the basics of a negotiated bargaining agreement that most unions have, NBA, NFL, usually split at 50-50, thus making, you know, making the players and the owners business partners. The UFC doesn't really work like that. The UFC fighters are independent contractors, so each one, you know, like a guy like Patty Pimblett, who is signed for Barstool endorsement deal for $1 million, you know, on his current contract, which I'm sure is an annual contract, he makes 20 grand a fight, show up, and 20 grand to win. If that sounds, in my personal opinion, they're extremely underpaid. It's the most violent sport probably in the world. Most damage you can do. You don't get benefits for it. And you get paid less than me playing in the USFL, you know, minor league football. So yeah, I think they're extremely underpaid, but I think the UFC is taking care of itself in the form of a business. And the really the people that benefit are the viewers, you know. So the fighters suffer, but the viewers, you know, we get a card every weekend. Like with boxing, I mean, Dana White came out and said they're overpaid. You know, that's why they only have a fight every 3 years, because they have a going out of business sale. And then every 3 years they come back together, scheme up something, make a ton of money, then go away forever. The UFC is trying to create a league. So I can see it from both sides. The UFC is just an exploitative business, just like every other business in America that's looking to pull every single tooth and do whatever it can. The UFC isn't a benevolent organization. Dana White's not a benevolent man. You don't wait for him to be like, oh, maybe he'll pay us 50-50 split because it's fail. You don't do that. The only way is you have to organize, because the fighters are the show. You can't have the show without the fighters, because the UFC has signed some pretty crazy deals. I mean, I think they sold the crypto.com, like the UFC's basically signed away their brand to crypto.com for, what was it, 13 years, 100 million? That's
it was
nothing.
10 years, 100 million.
That's nothing. That is $100 million over 10 years is not that much to sign away as a title sponsor for an entire league over a decade, you know. So, and the fighters don't really see any of that. I mean, the Reebok deal kind of ruined fighters' potential earn outside of the actual UFC purse. It's a pretty bad deal, and I always tell people, if you're going to get into mixed martial arts, you know, you either must really, 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 really love it or you're insane, so.
Do they just not have any kind of organization or agents that can go to
– No, they have no organization. And the agents they do have, the agents take ridiculous splits, because there's no – if you want to be an agent in the NFLPA, you have to follow certain standards. And that means at most you're taking 3, 4, 5, at most 6% of mega contracts. UFC, they don't have any of these restrictions. So agents, they'll sell their fighters. They're like, sign with me. And then they take 20% of the fighters' money off the top. I mean, agents are more leeches than anything, but sometimes the agents are the only way you can get into these leagues because they're so well connected.
That's too bad. I hope, hopefully they at least offer them some kind of health care. So I'm sure there's a ton of injuries.
They don't.
They offer no health care. There's no health plan or nothing. This is their health care, Steve. Their health care is the night of their fight. They can have a hospital visit. That will, you know, they'll fix up that night, like if they get a broken jaw.
The doctors actively are like, tell us, please, if anything even remotely bothers you, the doctors beg you, please let us know, because we can cover you for free tonight, and it'll be on the UFC's dime.
After that, though, nothing. They're on their own. They have to pay for their own way. A lot of fighters have second jobs. I talk about the story all the time. There was a guy who won a fight. He's sitting there talking, you know, on a fight card, talking to Daniel Cormier, crying after he wins. And Daniel's like, are you really happy that you won? And he was like, no. He was like, I'm mad that I didn't do enough to get a bonus, and I've got to go to work Monday. Like he was hoping he could quit his job and, you know, go full time fighting. And this guy's in the UFC, and Bruno's not joking. Bruno was making more than what I would say 80% of the entire UFC roster playing USFL football than what these guys are when they're fighting for the biggest fight league in the world.
That's maybe hopefully somebody, Bruno, you need to start your own UFC league or something, help these guys out, give them a better shake.
I can't do anything.
Funny you say that too. That's what Dana White says to anybody anytime he brings this up. He just says, "Go, why don't you go make your own fight league, and then you could pay your fighters however much you want to pay them." That's actually his main argument to anyone they bring up fighter pay.
Was Dana White, was he a fighter? I forget his background.
No.
He has a background in boxing. Before he got into promotion,
he wasn't a pro. He wasn't a pro boxer.
No, but he coached as like a profession for a little bit.
Yeah. He was a weird looking guy. You go back and look at him, man. He was like look at Barry Bonds when Barry Bonds started first playing baseball, and then look at Barry Bonds now. That's basically Dana White, because there's been a lot of juice inside that body.
He's all jacked up. And hey, real quick.
He's an artificial man for sure.
On basketball, I know it doesn't. I mean, of course, NBA guys are all. I mean, they're loaded anyway. I wonder if it bothers Kevin Durant at all watching Golden State now, and he's at home. It doesn't seem. Can't tell, but I just wonder if sometimes they regret, you know, changing up when they could have just stayed and just kept winning, been a true dynasty. But who knows?
It's probably
a different world.
I think you're right on something there, Steve. It probably does bother him in some facet, because he left them to essentially join another super team with Kyrie Irving and Harden and all this different. You know, it's got to somewhat bother him. And I think too, Kevin Durant's the kind of guy who, you know, obviously with burner Twitter accounts and all this different stuff, very sensitive to anything. So I imagine if you just tweet him that one thing, he'll probably go down a rabbit hole to see if anybody else is talking about it. I think it 100% bothers him that he's watching Golden State right now, just probably going to win. I mean, win without him, which they did before, and they're going to continue to do because their nucleus is there and they're already so good. So yeah, it probably does bother. It would bother me for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I know Curry rubs people the wrong way, but at least he's stuck with one team. I mean, you don't see that much anymore with superstars. So at least they've been able to keep them there, and they won. Well, if they win, is this be his third or fourth title?
Well, I believe it would be his fourth. So they won two with Durant.
They've won a ton.
Yeah, and then they won before Durant showed up, and they won two with Durant. So yeah, I think it would be a fourth title.
Okay. Well, I like that. All right. Y'all have a good night. Anchor down, boys.
Hey, appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for calling
appreciate
in, brother. The fighter pay stuff is so interesting. You think that's ever gonna, like...
No.
It's got to at some point, though. You know, I feel like they're getting so many talks about it, and it clearly, I mean, you saw Jake Paul do, I mean, I think Jake Paul really did try doing his best of like, trying to put Dana White in a corner, and Dana White just won't have it. But it might just take Dana White not being involved anymore ever for it to happen. It feels like that's what Dana White is.
What's the next president of the UFC going to come in and be like, I'm going to give the fighters 50-50 revenue split. Like that's business suicide.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they do it that way, but I think there should be at least kind of like how the NFL has a veterans minimum, you know, like there should be some of these guys that,
okay, you have to collectively bargain for these things. Mm-hmm. It's not just gonna happen.
No.
And people, I had an argument with people about this on Twitter years ago, and they're like, it's not fair. Dana White's an a-hole and you're an a-hole and I'm just telling them the truth. They are not gonna give you these things because of bad media press. You have to withhold your work.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree, but it takes the, you know, Conor McGregor's not gonna do it. Obviously, and you even look at the UFC right now, who's anybody that has any kind of draw in the power of UFC? There's nobody right now. I feel like there's nobody outside of McGregor. I don't think there is any kind of like actual, like the UFC is going to bow down to and listen to, right?
It would have to be everybody. It would simply have to be everybody.
Yeah.
From top to bottom.
I know. And then, you know, the damning part of that is it's just gonna not happen because they can go. Dana White can walk up to whatever gym and be like, "Hey, anybody want to fight on the UFC card right now to make $8,000?" And there'll be some morons that'll be like, "Yep, we'll do it." So,
well, fighters are notoriously not very intelligent people as a collective.
Because they get hit in the head a lot, is that a good reason, you think?
No, mixed martial arts and cage fighting attracts a very bad crowd.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a whole separate thing, I guess. I would, you know that world better than I do, obviously. So
yes, and that's why I'm telling you, as someone who's in that world, some of the worst people and create like literal psychos, just totally in their own world, live in that world.
Let's bring somebody else who knows that world pretty well. If you want to jump in, 615-844-5600. Reagan, how you doing?
How's it going, guys? Happy birthday, big dog.
Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, if there's anything that's been proven is the UFC's not going to change. They have the perfect story. They have Francis, who fought his way, into Europe to get to come over here, does pretty much everything right, wins the title. And they put him in, try to set him up to lose so that they could get rid of him because he fought the contract. If they're not going to give it to Francis, they're not going to give it to anybody because he was the good story.
Mm. No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, they don't care.
They just don't care.
But expecting a corporation to care is ridiculous in the first place.
Well, and I think it's also just it's crazy whenever I hear Dana White say they still live and die off of their pay-per-views. That's not true. I mean, is Disney not shoveling millions and millions of dollars to give you your own platform? Because that's for sure happening. We know that. Like the whole idea there, oh, we need the no, you're making $700 million a year off your Disney deal. We know that for sure. That's very open out there. So you know, that's if you average up how much they're paying these guys. I mean, I don't know. Was it like 200 guys on the UFC roster right now? Even how much they're paying them, if you average that out through the entire year, they're not even touching that money. And that's without the pay-per-view buys. That's without the merch deals. That's without the crypto deals, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's just – I just hate how much he lies about it openly, which I guess it's his job. So,
well, their estimated value is at $10 billion right now. Think of that. $10 billion is what? 1/4 of the NFL?
Yeah.
Something like that, maybe. Yeah, about 1/4 to 1/6. So, yeah, it keeps moving up, and they're not going to change their game plan because it works. Thank God that I don't know anybody in that business.
You know? I've heard stories about people locally that make it to the UFC, and they're not. I mean, it's not like they're treated. Aljamain Sterling just had a quote unquote parade at his hometown, and he was in a single bed truck, and there were 40 people there. Like, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
As Bruno knows, I've worked fights before, and I'll just say it out. I made $300, and I was the third highest paid guy there as a judge. None of the fighters made more than me. So,
jeez.
How does that sound? I never got hit, punched once, or anything. You know, they got free food. So, yeah, it's not the way to make money. Only the top are going to make money.
Wow. Thanks for letting us know that. That's incredible.
the local scene is way worse. No, you have to go through an entire amateur circuit just to even get close.
Yeah. There's people who are fighting professionally in border states for $100, $200 to show. $102 to win.
That's insane. And that taking that kind of punishment, you know, on top of that is just that it's crazy. I mean, that's where I look at the UFC and I'm like, at least do healthcare. Like, that's not something that is so crazy expensive.
The USFL does healthcare. The USFL does healthcare. I have healthcare. It's absurd that the UFC doesn't have healthcare. Yeah.
At least have health care during training camps. There's you could define a training camp. 8 weeks before your fight, you get health care, you know? And it covers you after what damage takes place during those events. You should have the same, because they could do insurance. They could do workman's comp insurance.
Yep. Yeah, that'd be the easiest way.
I mean, it's just that is as much greed as I think than anything than you'll see from the NFL, than you'll see from any other league, any other major league in any other major sport. That's just what that is. It's just pure greed of keeping their money. I mean, I don't know what they're allocated. I don't know what they have to spend per card or all this stuff, but I just know they have the money to do the things that they're saying they can't do. And it just comes back from greed, which I don't know. You know, now I sound like the NIL people that are against NIL, so.
Well, NIL is a different story. You're not putting that genie back in the bottle. But the UFC will not change until the people at the top change. You could walk into a card, and if you've got, you know, any top-level fighter on that card, they're not going to sit out. They're not going to threaten to sit out because they're making the good money. The people who fight at the top, the championship money is what they want. So, you know, they're not going to sit out. It's the bottom people. They could say, hey, I want to sit out, and they would replace them day of. That's a lot of things people don't understand. They have people sitting on the sidelines ready to go.
That's so crazy. Hey, Reagan, I appreciate you calling in, brother. We're up against the break.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, that's just a world. That's a whole crazy world that I don't think people – because it's not a sport that's, you know – so, I mean, I feel like it is widely known, but they don't widely cared about, I guess, is the way it goes into. They don't care. All people want to see is the blood jumping out of someone's face after they get knocked out. And then after that, they don't care what's going on with that fighter until they fight again. So if you want to jump in, 615-844-5600, we got to run to a break. Last segment coming up, though, if you want to get involved, it's your last chance. Back after this here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
No way, man. You're not getting by me.
You sure about that?
Nice basket.
Man, I am slowing down as I get older, but you're unstoppable. What's your secret?
I gotta tell you, taking Nugenix Total T makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix, that's the testosterone booster you see on TV, right?
Yes, this is a legit product. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, and you should check it out. Nugenix Total T is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance. And like the TV ad says, she'll like it too.
Yeah, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
Just send them a text. Text KING to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape absolutely free. Text KING to 321-321. That's KING to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
Hi, I'm Carson Kressley. Of all the most valuable resources in the world, kindness is the most precious. For more than 140 years, American Humane has been working to make the world a kinder place for animals. Rescuing those caught in disasters, protecting animals on our farms, on the silver screen, and the world's remarkable and endangered species who need our care to help them survive. All of us can make a difference by making humane choices at the supermarket, in our choice of entertainment, and by supporting conservation and rescue efforts. It's not hard at all. Make being kind a lifestyle choice and visit AmericanHumane.org for simple ways you can help build a more caring, compassionate, and humane world for animals and for all of us.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs, ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon. A couple of thunderstorms could develop under a partly sunny sky, high middle 80s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms increase in coverage with a mostly cloudy low down to 68. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. If you want to get involved, 615-844-5600. Once again, for anybody who might be, you know, confused why there's no Vandy baseball, it's because there's a weather delay that's going on. I feel like I've said this 400 times, but I'm going to make sure because you never know. Radio is a revolving door, Bruno. It's a revolving door. You never know who's coming in, who's going out. There's a weather delay with Florida and South Carolina, which then is caused Vanderbilt, which plays after them, to play at some point. It's gotten so bad that now game four, which was going to be Kentucky versus Auburn, will not even be played tonight in the tournament. It's going to be played tomorrow. So Vandy is set to be the last game that plays tonight. We'll see at what time they play. It's going to be really late, though. Just be on ready because Florida and South Carolina started. So we're talking 3 hours. 3 hours from right now would be virtually 9 o'clock. So that's if they were able to start right now. I've seen nothing that said that they're getting close to it or anything. It's just going to...
They've entered the hyperbolic time chamber. The game's in the freezer. What else is there? No more funny puns.
Yeah, no, it's they're just waiting forever now. They're just sitting there so bored. Let's go to the phone line, 615-844-5600. If you want to call in, we want to talk to you. Dr. Detroit, how are you doing today, buddy? Hey, real quick, doctor, can you turn off your radio on your side there?
I had it on private. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
All good.
I was listening to the talk about the fighters, boxers, and so forth and stuff like that. That's just horrifying, man. Jesus, God, no health insurance. Guy came on city refs and gets $300 and a free meal. I mean, God, that's not even a drop in the bucket, you know, what he should be getting. That's some stuff that I didn't even know, wasn't even aware about. But anywho, I've calmed down. What I was going to have a tension tantrum about, I'd probably be banned from the radio station, and I do not want that. You guys are my family, and I love all y'all to death. My driver, I know y'all don't give two dimes in a bucket to a NASCAR, but my favorite driver, Ryan Blaney, Team Penske Ford, not only won the race, but then won it again in overtime. And Denny Hamlin is crying his eyes out. They interviewed him after the race. He's like, you know, yeah, they should give him the race. But then he starts crying about it. That's all I've seen on my cell phone. That's all I've heard today. It's making me sick. I don't like Toyota in the sport anyway. Unless NASCAR races worldwide, Toyota don't be made in America. Don't need to be racing in America. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to say my piece. Should not, period, unless they race nationwide. Then I'll agree to it. But this little crybaby Denny Hamlin, he's been crying every race all season long. And, you know, we're short on baby formula, guys. But he should be a grown man and know babies need it more than he does. And that's all I'll say.
Hey, I appreciate that, doctor. I'm not going to lie, the formula joke is pretty good.
Formula One, racing, you know. I mean, it's jokes write themselves.
I thought it was because he was saying he was being a baby in baby formula. I thought that
no,
was...
yeah, but I added a little, you know, potential twist. This is how you start writing jokes, you brainstorm, Zach.
Well, see, speaking of that, I've been wondering, when are we going to start, you know, taking our act on the road? Are we going to start doing some stand-up soon?
That seems to be the thing now. Do a podcast, do some stand-up, and aimlessly wander through media and figure out wherever you end up, we end up.
Yeah, man. That should be the plan all the way through. I don't know how anybody could, you know, that's the way to do. I'm still not over yet. It's so funny. Like, I'm seeing the headlines right now. We were talking about it a little bit ago. Tannehill vows he'll be a great teammate to Willis. I'm just picturing him up at the podium there at the practice field, and he's just sitting there and he's like screaming into the sky, like, I will take care of Willis.
Their relationship is probably so weird right now just because they had all that media buildup before they actually got to sit down and talk. So I feel like I would be a good ice. Like, if something like that was happening to me, I'd be able to be like, look, man, I don't care. Like, just, you know, he'll be like, you want to come hang out of the house? I'm like, no, I'm going to go play League of Legends. He'll be like, all right, cool. We're going to be cool, you know. But they have to like, navigate this awkward start to their relationship. It's all so stupid.
It is weird that they got pitted against each other, like, immediately with nothing happening. Like, it was already just set. Just because he got drafted, it was like, Tannehill, Willis, oh no, Willis is going to take over the job. Like, that was immediate. And then, you know, of course, Tannehill comes out and says, you know, I shouldn't have to be his mentor or whatever was the quote. And a lot of people were backing up. Like, Tannehill doesn't need to be his mentor. But then you got the people like, a good teammate would take care about the young guys. And who was it? Was it Robert? It might have been RG3. I know we've mentioned him a bunch today. But that was a guy who was upset about it.
RG3 is such a dork. God. Oh, they man. Pay coaches. The coaches get paid to coach. Right, Tannehill gets paid to try and win the games. It's not hard.
And sometimes it looks like it's the opposite.
I'm so, you know me, I'm torn on this because Ryan Tannehill is probably the best quarterback I've seen in a Titans uniform in my life that I can sentiently remember. I can't remember Steve McNair. I was five, so.
Yeah, true. I mean Marcus, right?
Marcus wasn't this consistent.
I mean, he was good though, and then they ended up winning a playoff game at least while he was the quarterback before Tannehill showed
Ryan
up.
Ryan Tannehill's Titans have been better than Marcus's Titans. That's just
true. That's true. You can't dispute that, and I think
dude,
the Titans
people
are in a
people
spot.
Are yeah, I'm, people are gonna hate me, but you know what people always say? Oh man, I wish we knew we were in the good old days when it was the good old days. You know, you might have all this hate and anger. You might be missing some of the best time in Titan history. You don't want to hear it, but I'm being honest. We can easily go back to mediocrity for a long time. Being good in the NFL is very hard. Try and enjoy these years. I'm telling you. Recession's coming, and you're going to have a bad football team.
You could tell when Bruno is passionate about the subject because he just gets louder and louder as he's saying it.
I'm just being honest. You don't see it coming. I know Ryan Tannehill screwed that last playoff game, but I've still been able to enjoy these last few years of Titans football. It's been awesome. Derrick Henry will one day run the football the last time in a Titans uniform.
Those are inevitable things, right? Like
we didn't think I could have made that joke about AJ Brown a month ago, and everyone would be like,
"That would never happen." No, that would never happen. It's going to be so long from all that. I can't wait. 12 years from now, we're going to laugh about that joke. No, did you see too? Were you here? Did we talk about that? His training camp. He was going to have a training camp here. That was a camp for kids in Nashville that he canceled. And he put out on Twitter.
Yeah, I'd cancel it too.
Yeah, well, he put out on Twitter that he said, frankly, the reason why I'm not going to do it is because I don't want some fan to come up. Now, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but this is basically what he said. I don't want some fan to come up to me and, you know, try to start something with me because I'm the one that has the most to lose with losing my job, you know, getting my name thrown out there or whatever. So he just, like, completely canceled it and didn't even do it.
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't say that's why I did it, but that would 100% the reason. There's going to be some idiot that goes up there and is like, you know, something totally not their business, and they would make it about them and not the kids that are there. So, yeah, I totally understand why he canceled it. Why? Who cares at this point anyways? It's just AJ Brown football camp. You know, you didn't know who AJ Brown is. You probably got your money back, I would hope. If you didn't get your money back, that's an issue. If you got your money back,
I imagine they got their money back. I can't imagine. There you go. That story would go out like crazy right now if AJ Brown was keeping the money.
That'd be awesome. Well, I don't even. A lot of the times, the players do these things for, you know, for free. So
yeah, true.
Let's get back to the community.
Hey, real quick, just because we're about to be wrapped up here, you know, of course, we've been talking about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and the whole, you know, where they are right now with NIL. Did you see what happened today? Just to like throw more fire onto that already, that is just a burning blaze of a story. Today, a former commit of A&M has committed to Alabama. Someone who decommitted from
A&M. He needs to go to every talk show in America and just start talking, spill all the beans. Why not?
A quarterback, too. Eli Holston, 6'3", 215-pound quarterback from Zachary High School in Zachary, Louisiana. He's number 59 on ESPN's 300 right now. Yeah, he originally committed to Fisher and Texas A&M in June of last year, but he decommitted in March, and then now he's committed to Alabama. I mean, you got to think somewhat this had nothing to do with that, right? Like his decision, but you got to think there's somewhere in there where he's like, this is tremendous that I'm joining this.
It had nothing to do with his decision, but I'm sure he recognizes the hilarity of the situation he's in now. Oh,
that's
awesome.
That's tremendous. All right. Hey, Bruno. We did an impromptu show all 2 hours today. Can you believe
that? It's too easy. This job's too easy. I'm a natural. I'm a natural, baby. Hey, Allegretta, I'll be looking out for you. Don't let me catch you on the streets, all right?
Well, you know where you'll be able to catch Allegretta is somewhere at some point. He's going to be on this station. Vandy Baseball, Ole Miss. It will be played at some point today. Just stay with Nash Sports Radio and all our Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. We'll get you whenever the start times are. We don't know right now. Thanks to everybody who called in, commented, watched in, however you did. We will possibly be back Friday, depending on how everything goes, but just stick with us. Remember, if nobody told you, I love you and you matter. Have a great night. We'll see you guys next time here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hey guys, it's Zach from the Afternoon Stretch. One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always